Welcome to the Prophecy Chronicles with your host, Paul Richard Price.
Hello, good evening, everyone around the world, good morning, I should say, good afternoon, and good evening, no matter where you're listening to, and those in New Orleans, I'd like to give you a thanks here. Paul Richard Price here on the Prophecy Chronicles on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network, and my guest tonight is Robert Emmenegger, and for those who may not know, Robert is a former ad agency executive, and he's a documentary filmmaker. And Bob, how are you doing tonight?
Well, pretty good, thank you. Yeah, sure. It's good to hear from you again. I haven't talked to you in a little while.
Well, and let me tell everybody about Robert Emmenegger. If anyone who doesn't know Robert, even from Miss Joyner's show last week, Robert Emmenegger is the man who made UFOs Past, Present, and Future, and then the follow-on to that, UFOs Are Here, as well as other amazing documentaries. And if you'd like, could you give us, again, a little bit of a brief rundown of what you've done so far in your career?
Well, gee, that's a long one. As you know, I probably, in the old days, we'll start with that, I must have done 200 or 300 network commercials for people all the way from Gallo Wine to Bank of America, and I guess you know that, and Taco Bell, and, you know, selling stuff, which was fun. I enjoyed that. And then, as you know, I had my partner put us in touch with DOD, and we did a television special with the Department of Defense's blessings called UFOs Past, Present, and Future. And a later makeover or update, including Jacques Vallée, which was called UFOs It Has Begun. And that was probably in 1980 or so. Then Al and I had a film studio in Hollywood called Pico Bronson. And we did about 10 science fiction features, and frankly influenced by the experiences we had with the Department of Defense and the UFO phenomenon. Even used some people as consultants, like Lilly, I don't know if you know who he is, who was working with the Dolphins, and he helped us in a situation where an alien was communicating with humans, and he had figured out a way, because he was working with dolphins, there would be a screen between the two, and symbols would be put on one side, and then a response from an alien. I mean, you know, you do know that this is science fiction. So then we did a few specials. The things that you would be more interested in, and I was too, we did one on hypnosis. It was called Hypnosis and Beyond. Shatner was the host of it, although it was not light. We had two of the most well-known psychiatrist hypnotists that the CIA had used, and they were the ones who recommended these two guys. And it's fascinating. I mean, the subject of hypnosis is such a key into opening the vast part of our brain that that seems to be asleep when we're in our usual state. One was called Death, the Ultimate Mystery. I really wanted to do this. Technicolor put up the money, and I think they wanted something scary, but we did a search worldwide from here to Egypt and to India, and met with the Surgeon General of the Air Force, who talked about physically what happens, the physiology of death. But then we went and met with Maurice Rawlings, who was a cardiologist, and he had a lot of his patients going straight line when they were being operated on, and all of a sudden they had these near-death experiences, and we interviewed about three of those people who had those experiences, and it's just fascinating. All of them said, you know, once you've done that, you don't fear death at all after that. In fact, coming back was horrifying. They said that was harder than life was more difficult than these out-of-body death experiences. We did one on called "Is Everybody Happy But Me?" But that was a more lighthearted look at what makes people happy. The conclusion on that one was interesting. We had a woman who had sex with 1,000 people, men, and she talked about that as that was happiness to her. One person had their face lifted, had a facelift, thinking that would bring them happiness. And we went through a lot of things. Marsha Mason was in that particular one. Sort of as a
no,
hostess.
That wasn't science fiction, was it, Bob?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Now we're talking about things that were not science fiction. Hypnosis and death. And
One thing, Bob, I need to interrupt. Angela wanted me to let you know that she says to be sure to tell you that she said hello. She is your biggest fan.
Who is that again?
Angela Joyner.
Oh, my God, of course. That's my old buddy. I don't mean old. She's younger than I am. Yes, we met back at the... Well, I met her out at the Eureka Springs Festival, UFO Festival, and then we ran into each other again at the X Conference back in Washington. And, yeah, she's kind of like a buddy. I wish her well. I don't know where she is right now. Is she listening, possibly? You know, you never
listening
know.
Listening right now. She's in the chat room, by the way. I thought I'd let you know.
Oh, good.
She goes, I love Bob.
Well,
I love Bob.
I love her dearly. She's one of the most open, straightforward people in that whole field. And she does not, when she expresses some of her experiences, she doesn't exaggerate them and turn them into something like, listen to me, I'm an authority. She's one of the few that usually will not elaborate, but will tell you the truth of what she knows. So, what the heck. And another buddy, the trio, is made up of Grant Cameron, myself, and her. I mean, you know, we don't hang around that much, but we all seem to agree and think alike.
She wanted me to tell you thanks, Bob, by the way. Boy.
Oh, what the heck. Thanks
well, I mean,
to her.
Well, hey, thanks to you also, Angela. You do an awesome job on your show. And I'm going to plug it right now. Her show is awesome. However, let me make a point here. You have done so much right now in the field of documentary filmmaking. Not only that, but you've done science fiction,
yeah,
and the like. And you're working currently, if you don't mind me getting into it right now.
Well, that's true.
You're working right now with your old partner, who was your old partner from...
Yes,
UFO
Alan Sandler. He's out in Ashland, Oregon, and we've been sort of doing some corresponding with a Chinese production company talking about doing a co-production. And I think he's going, he either went to China or he had some of the producers come over here, and he wants to do something lighthearted with them. But then we do have a serious program we're trying to put together. It really has about to do with the paranormal. And you started to mention, did you say that you had met some remote viewers or you know one or what we were
well,
starting
I
to...
know one has signed up to be my friend, and yes, everybody, I have a Facebook account. I'm a geek, okay? I'll get it across to everyone right now. But Skip Atwater?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact,
the Monroe Institute?
Very good. I just corresponded with the Monroe Institute, and I haven't been able to finalize things with them if they're going to be involved until Alan is back in town and we can, you know, I've forwarded Skip's name to him. And that whole crew is remarkable, from Joe McGonigal and Pat Price, and there's a whole host of them that I find it one of the most fascinating things. And this is leading the way, in my opinion, to opening consciousness. If I would love to go and I listen to these Hemisync recordings that the Monroe Institute has. My wife was very interested to use them for children to let them concentrate, but every so often I get hold of one of them and it puts me into a I don't even listen to it at the end. I just am all zonked out by the time the recording is over. I admire what these guys can do. You probably, I don't know if you had a chance to talk to Skip at all, or at least on Facebook.
Well, he added me, and it was kind of a surprise, you know. I didn't know why he would add me. And I guess it was right after you added me on Facebook. And everybody, if you want to get a hold of Bob, add him on your Facebook accounts, people.
Well, you know, I wish I wanted to correspond with Skip. And I knew that, I think he turned me over to the president of the company to be a spokesperson. Actually, I was sort of hoping I'd rather work with Skip, I know of him. In fact, because I know that Putoff at this end is going to be helping us out, and they know each other, but I've never had the privilege of, you know, really talking to Skip yet. But I sure have been reading McGonagall's book and just thinking, it's amazing what these guys have done, from sitting around and locating, for instance, General Dozer in Italy when he was captured, and McGonagall was able to visualize the second floor room that he was held in. Also, and the Iranians had captured our people. You know, the whole remote viewing group would sit and try and see what condition they were in, and try and put themselves into the rooms where our captives were held. Those stories are kind of amazing.
Well, tell us, you know, even though I know we're getting off track right now, and I really want...
If you want. I mean, I didn't know that.
I want to talk about the remote viewing film you're doing right now.
Well, it's all a kind of included. Now, there are things that I want to include, for instance, with Hal Putoff in his adventures or his research in China. The Chinese were doing... And I know Skip must know about this because he is in contact with Putoff. But Putoff went over there under the banner of the SRI, Stanford Research, now called International, used to be Institute. And in the 80s, along with Chinese scientists and from the biggest universities, they did some experimenting that blows my mind away. I tried to get Alan to get the Chinese to let us pick up on this years later, I mean just a few months ago, and they shied away from the fact that we ever experimented with some of the Chinese people. But the remote viewing of teleporting an object from one person's hands from one room to another person's hands in an adjoining room, to me, if you can make an object do that, then you're working outside our third dimension big time. Just like remote viewers, when they go into a certain state, they're outside of our three-dimensional world. And they were having young people were, I have some visuals of them, they're Xerox copies of stills where Chinese are holding a jar that's sealed and they're little like vitamin pills inside, of different colors, and one of them concentrates on one and forces it down to the bottom of the jar, through the jar glass, and onto the outside without breaking the glass. Now, so we're talking about things that I always thought that only Indian saints were capable of doing. And, I equate it with the fact that there was somebody called Paramahansa Yogananda who talked about his guru, his teacher, who would suddenly manifest in front of him, just like in Star Trek, just brrr it up, and there he would be. So, and the fact that this can be done at all indicates to me that we have a whole world that can be open to us. if we know how to go about it. And some people are more skilled than others. For instance, McGonagall, and I'm using him because I'm more familiar with what he was doing, he had a near-death experience, and I think you have had that too, Paul, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
And
if you don't mind me explaining it to the listeners, I had a severe seizure. I have epilepsy. I had a severe seizure that almost where I almost died. I actually did die, heart stopped for 5 minutes, maybe longer. Mm-hmm. And they had to do resuscitative techniques on me to bring me back.
Sure.
And during that time, I was in a piece of, or in a place of total peace.
Yeah.
That to this day I wish I was back.
Oh, that's the impressions I get. I just wish maybe, and maybe the Monroe Institute, where Skip is, we're working on it, where we can have a near-death experience without dying, you know, without killing ourselves. I've often thought I'd take a sledgehammer, and hit myself on the head and see if I can have one of those experiences, which is not the way to do it, you know. That's a painful way to have a near-death experience. I wouldn't do that. But I think people who have had those experiences are well on their way to reaching out and existing through another dimension that's somewhere out there. I'm sure you came back with the feeling you didn't want to come back, that it was a wonderful...
Yeah, that's correct. But I believe I was brought back to bring back a message of hope, you know, for people, actually. And I also know that I have an ability, what I call remote impressions, where, you know, I don't have to go into that deep, near-hypnotic state to review.
Oh, I understand that totally. That part I understand. I probably told you once that I used to, there's a guy on the West Coast that was a voiceover guy that we used to play with telekinesis and holding objects, and it was fun, you know. I'd hold one and I'd tell him where it came from, and then he would do the same. And I hadn't done that in years. But when we were doing the UFO thing, I don't know if I told you that the head of security at Norton sat down in the studio with Alan and me around a table, and Alan thought that maybe I had some ability, and asked where the craft that had supposedly landed at Holloman Air Force was being kept. I probably told you this. I just sat, and I wasn't in a trance or anything, but I could see it was somewhere on the West Coast, I thought. And I thought it may be Utah or Nevada. And then I went into a tunnel, a very long, long tunnel that was cut out of the rocks, and I could see pipes running along the top, and I kept going and going and going, came to a window, a door at the end with a mesh window on it. I've shared this with Putoff, and he understood this. I went inside. I don't know what I was looking for, but I went inside, and there was a room full of men looking at, I thought they were looking at X-rays in front of them. So anyway, about 2 weeks later, I wasn't seeing where the UFO was. Alan said that 2 weeks, because 2 weeks later they said, you guys should go to NORAD, North American Air Defense, because that should be part of your project to understand how we observe objects in the sky. And Alan said, is that long, in a long tunnel in a room full of, and they said, yes. And Alan said, So when we went there, what I was saying, it was precognitive. Saw the place we were going to go, and within 2 weeks later. It's a remarkable thing. I can't do that very often, it seems, but at that time, just had a hot streak. And I saw it all so clearly, and when I got there, of course, the guys were looking at monitors with trajectories of stuff out in space, and they would wait till one that was not already cataloged, and that would set off an alarm, and then NORAD would scramble whatever it was, missiles or planes. So those are things I guess we haven't talked about, have we?
No, we have not.
But that's...
So, if you don't mind me interjecting here, that's...
Please, it's your program.
Okay, that's the link between your UFO research and now your research into remote viewing.
Remote viewing and also, but more, even other things that are all related to that. I mean, abilities, if people have the ability to, how do I say it? It's all related to the paranormal. You know, you don't have to stick with UFOs or remote viewing. It's the whole field of paranormal. Even, I suppose you could even put healing in that, too.
Well, and if you look at it, I mean, you've done a series of movies based on paranormal premises.
Yeah.
Whether it be UFOs going to Egypt to study the ancient Egyptians in depth, now to remote viewing, and also hypnosis.
Yes.
What is the particular interest for you in the paranormal? What brought you... I know your wife is a big fan of the paranormal.
She's ahead of me. As a matter of fact, she's ahead of me in this respect. I've always told people that she used to read the tabloids about aliens and goofy things like that and being abducted. And I, honest to God, would say, laugh and say, why do you read that crap? And then I think it was about a year or two later when Al and I went out to Norton Air Force Base, not looking for UFOs, but for projects that would put, you know, the DOD in a good light, all of their R&D, marvelous, way ahead of everyone else's research. And we ended up specializing or doing our program on UFOs. So, and all of a sudden I had to say, my God, this is, as you probably already know, everybody else, this is real. And I've always said that the Air Force and government really doesn't deny the existence of this. As a matter of fact, as of recently, they seem to accept it openly. And even the strange paranormal side of UFOs. So, I don't know, I'm jumping around a little bit, but... I'll tell you what it was. When I was very young, like 5 years old, let's say, or I don't remember when it was, and I used to say, why in the heck am I here? Am I left here on this, I didn't use the word planet because I didn't know. I had a feeling like all of my comrades or associates had gone on, and I was here to kind of just hang out again for a while. And I have felt that way all through life, that I don't know what this other existence might be, but that's why and you do the same thing. I keep probing into all of these, the other world. I just know there is another existence somewhere, and that this is kind of as a matter of fact, somebody once said it, and I kind of think so. Earth is like a penal institute in space for wayward souls that just haven't got it, put it together yet. I know that I sort of feel that way. I mean, look at the things that we do. Who wants to be around these people? No, there are good souls out there too, but so I suppose always it's that question of why are we here and what the heck are we supposed to be doing, and is there something a little more, and is this couldn't be the end. I do believe that maybe, and I like the saying that somebody once said, we are spiritual beings having a human experience. I think that kind of is the way I feel wraps it up. I don't know about you, Paul. I think you probably feel something like that along lines.
Well, I know with me, I believe that we are the grand experiment, is what I believe.
Yep, I think so.
I believe that there is a creator, and that creator created us to show that even with imperfections, we could still manage to master our destinies if we make the right choices.
Right.
But, you know, as we are, we are imperfect beings. We're going to screw up, people. And you know, the thing that I was going to tell everybody here is the mere fact that I believe, like we were talking about earlier, I had a near-death experience. I've seen the other side, people. There is a reality that goes, that transcends our physical reality,
yeah,
that goes right beyond who we are.
I think our real being is that one you're talking about. And that we've hypnotized ourselves into thinking in limited terms. I don't mean to jump in here, but I was thinking how the remote viewers, I don't mean that, you know, I'm just crazy about the remote viewing, but it's the one I'm sort of playing with right at the moment. Not doing it, but reading about it. But people have to believe that they can remote view. That was McGonagall was saying. He said, You can't doubt yourself at all. All of a sudden, believing has a great deal to do with getting results. And once you go through that, as I think he put it, from believing to actually knowing, you know, you don't kind of have a belief in it, you know it. And I think that we as human beings have the potential of knowing who we really are and getting outside of our little physical traps that we're in, little restricted heads and bodies.
Well, and that's one of the reasons when I was younger why I looked into the paranormal and into UFOs especially, because I always believed that there was something more to what was going on in the universe than what we knew here on, you know, on planet Earth.
Yeah, I agree. It's got to be. I think that you only begin to become a human when you start to wake up and ask all those questions. You know, you're still sort of a thinking animal until you question those things. And when I think there are great beings that have thought it through and finally break through and can make that connection and have a permanent out-of-body experience, or in and out of it anyway. I wish I could do that, but I can't seem to yet.
Well, and we have some really good definite ideas from Angela as well as others in the chat room right now. You know, like Angela said, I know that there is a creator. And when I think of God, I think of God beyond just the mere fact of what the Bible says. I think of God as a creation force, as an interdimensional being who, through thought, there comes action, and action comes a response or a creation. And I think, you know, the thing is, we have a little bit of God in ourselves. We have what is called a soul. And if we, and there are a lot of even Eastern religions who believe that if we think it, then it will come to pass or come to be.
So you know, some of my adventures were, I don't want to necessarily get off the religious things, because I don't believe in religion, but I do the spiritual stuff. I read Paramahansa Yogananda's book called An Autobiography of a Yogi after, you know, going to Sunday school and doing all the Christian things. And I said, that's where the answer is, in that direction. And then I went to India to meet one of these teachers. In fact, when he came to the United States out in Santa Monica, I was able, magically, I guess, drive him around on his days off and had him sitting in the back seat and just looking, thinking. I had the most incredible feeling of love toward this man who didn't even speak English. There was something he was radiating, and it was a wonderful experience. If you could feel that feeling that I felt toward that man, toward everybody that you saw every day, man, it would be a happy world, you know? And you know what I mean. It's not romance. It's hard to explain. I never understood the idea that God is love, but in certain moments, you know, I think you can really feel it.
Well, like I said, you know, I believe, and I look at it from a scientific standpoint, God transcends dimensions. He's
totally
omnipresent, as it states, which means, is he be in physical form that we can think of? No.
Not at all.
Is he energy and information?
Closer to that.
Closer to that. And the thing is, when he created mankind, and I don't mean man and woman, but when God created mankind in God's own image, what he was saying, it's not so much that we were physically made in his image, but we were made in the likeness of him, which is different. It's more, if you look into a hologram and think the holographic theory,
sure.
It's a projection of what would be acceptable to us.
Well, you know, for all we know, we're living in almost a hologram. I mean, reality is a very intangible thing when you start thinking of... I'm jumping around to thinking about back at the military showed us these three-dimensional moving holograms, and all of a sudden you don't know if you're there or it's where you are. I don't know why they were using it. I think they could even create an illusion of illusions that they could broadcast that people would... They may be for, like, decoys, too. Now we're jumping around. Let's put the hologram aside for a minute.
No. Let's bring that up because you brought up a point about, and we were talking about remote viewing. In effect, a lot of remote viewers state that what they're looking at is a hologram. A projection of something, and they go out of their bodies, but they see a three-dimensional hologram of a certain area.
Of what they're looking for, searching for, yeah. Or the target. They always call it the target, yes.
Information exchange is what it is. And I have no problems to believe that, you know, the reality that we are in right now, because my near-death experience has shown me that what we see in our reality is not real. There's more to it.
And it's pretty hard. It's hard for somebody who has not meditated or had an out-of-body experience to even grasp that. That just sounds so crazily abstract, but it's the reality.
And, you know, you've done work in this. You know, you have the themes of your movies and the documentaries you've done in the past and the one you're currently working on remote viewing right now are diverse, but they all come into one point that there's more to our physical reality than what we know or see.
There you got it. And that's the thing that's... If we can make a crack in the egg that surrounds us and peek through, I mean, that's a wonderful experience. And I don't know if you can teach other people that, I think some people are working toward that. Now, I've not really delved into Monroe Institute, but I think that all the guys that work there and all are trying to teach a way to break through to see the real reality. And it's really not religion. It has nothing to do with religion, you know. I guess it's closer to spirituality, but maybe those two words aren't even the correct words. It's in a wonderful thing. I think if we can peek through and peek behind the curtain while we're still alive, that would be quite an event. Without having to have a near-death experience, that is. Because I envy people who have had, I shouldn't say that too loud, you know, people who have had near-death experiences, because that opened the door for them, you know. It may have been painful, but once they're through that door, you know, they know. You don't have to theorize about it.
Well, what I'm wondering is, if you don't mind me bringing this up to you, is we see books even in the past like Alice in Wonderland, Through the Looking Glass.
Yeah.
Which, in effect, and they believe that certain psychodrugs can actually bring that forth.
I've heard that, and I... There's even some drug that Margaret was very interested in. By the way, she does not take drugs, but something down in South America that people talk about that the shamans use, and all of a sudden, you know, you've broken through the eggshell. You're outside of it and wandering around. I think some people are just, some people are lucky. This is a funny thing, but Alan Sandler's secretary in L.A. when we were doing our shows, she was married to an FBI agent. There was always CIA and FBI guys hanging around, but she was not spiritual. She wasn't anything, but she started talking about at night she would go up to the ceiling and wander around, could look down and see her husband and herself and see what time it was, and she just thought everybody at night would travel that way and be able to, you know, do a remote out-of-body experience. And she was very surprised that that didn't happen to many people. And it wasn't because of any religious belief or spiritual belief. She was just, that just happened to her. She didn't think much of it. She just thought everyone did that. Well, it's kind of a strange thing, isn't it, or not?
Well, maybe everybody else should be able to do it. There's a big difference there. I mean, maybe if you look at it from the perspective that maybe people have, because of our culture, have suppressed their very innate abilities.
Well, I wonder why we've suppressed them. That brings up an interesting theory, that maybe to enjoy this three-dimensional sensual world that we live in, you've made an agreement to say, okay, I'm going to play that game and I'm going to pretend like I don't know that we're really spiritual beings that are not limited. Maybe I just keep wondering if it's just one of the agreements you make with yourself and creation to experience the sensual world. I mean, I don't know, but it's a possibility. Somebody once said that we are all in multiplicity because that God wanted to experience everything, so he made this manifest world of which he created it, and we're just little flotsam and jetsam floating around in it and enjoying our little planet for a while anyway. I don't know. That's sort of an East Indian way of looking at things anyway.
Well, I also look at it from the effect or the belief, because of my near-death experience, that we have a higher consciousness to go to after we die. So why would we want to stay here on Earth?
Yeah, one of the things I was fascinated with was the idea of reincarnation. So at the end of the film on death, I found a very good Canadian hypnotist, and he would not commit to whether he thought there was reincarnation or not. But he admitted that a lot of people that he would hypnotize would slip into another lifetime. Well, anyway, so I said, well, look, how could we prove somebody lived before through hypnosis? He said, if you can find somebody that died in the early 20th century, we'll say, and died somewhere in the United States, then you can go maybe check it out. So we had an auditorium full of people who volunteered, and he went around to try and find those that were capable of being somnambulistic, meaning when they go out, they're gone. And apparently 10-12% of the people who are hypnotized can go that deep. So we found two people that could go, that they were both women, that could go that deep. And one in particular, I think I probably told you this was the climax of the one on death, she started going off and talking about a little town, Corning, Ohio, in great detail. And she went crazy when her daughter was killed in a wagon in the town. And they said, where are you? Corning, Ohio. What's the year? She said, well, it happened on December the 8th. And she said, 1897. And where are you? Where was it? And she started just describing this little town. And she had so much detail to it, and there's not time to go into the details, but little Annie Spielberg was our at Stephen's sister, was our line producer. You know, there is a producer, and line producer, the one that does all the hard work is the line producer. She contacted that little town, Corning, Ohio, and we decided there was enough that this woman had talked about that we'd go there. And so we interviewed people and went to the town, and I'd say two-thirds of what she talked about was right there, right in that town around the turn of the century. The town had sort of deteriorated since then. And when she was awake, this woman, we were asking her about the town, and she said, I just don't know. I've never heard of it. I've never been there. I don't know. And it made her very nervous, especially nervous. She got very nervous when her daughter was killed by a wagon on one of the streets. So all I can tell you is that I saw enough evidence in that alone for me to say, hey, reincarnation, I believe, is a real thing. So people can say, oh, I don't believe in it. Well, I think there's enough of us. For instance, you, I'm sure, there are things that you like in life. There are things that I like. I happen to like armor, military things of the 17th, 18th century. Not killing, but the whole military stuff. And every time I was regressed or hypnotized, which is not very often, I always popped up in the military, either riding a horse somewhere where I had an assignment, and I remember one assignment, I guess I missed it, and the battle had been lost, and I was supposed to have done something. The cannons were all sitting there, and our men had been somewhere in the 1800s, and I began to cry over this. I mean, it's like, good God. So I think we're drawn toward those things that we have been familiar with in the past. You know, I think people like a certain kind of painting, a certain kind of music, a certain type of furniture, or an antique, or hobby. And I think, in my opinion, it could reflect something that we found very dear sometime in the past. Now, when I talked to Muktananda, now I'm jumping around, he was a teacher in India who did not speak English, and I interviewed him about death, and he said he had remembered maybe five prior incarnations, and that he died under the operating table from a heart attack. And he talked about that his teacher came to him and said, hey, look, you're going to be okay, the whole thing. And all of a sudden, all these people were standing around, and he woke up and said, hey, everything's okay, let's have lunch, or something to that effect. Maybe not quite as dramatic as that, but I think all of this stuff is existing and just outside of our vision, if you know what I mean. Well, you already know, Paul, if you had those
Yeah, I do believe that. I do believe that. One thing that Angela wanted me to ask you, she was in the chat room.
Yeah.
Do you believe, I've got two questions now for you from her.
Yes.
One, do you believe God's an alien? And two, where can she hook up, or where can she find your movie on death?
Okay, now what was the first thing? Do I think what?
Is
that God was a man?
An alien.
Oh, an alien. Oh, God is an alien? Do I think that?
Yes.
Maybe human beings on this planet could have been an experiment from an alien race, but I don't think God is any alien. Because we're talking about physical bodies that we seem to move in and out of, which could have been, we could be an experiment. I don't see why. We find animals in the jungles and we tag them and examine them and even clone things now. And how do we know, you know, somebody's not screwing with us genetically? That I don't know. And the second question was, where can you find the film on death? Actually, it's still around somewhere. There's a company called CSI. Well, you know, have Angela just call me and I can tell you where she can find a copy of that film. I think it was probably, at that time, it was on a VCR. But, you know, it's funny. It wasn't as popular as you might expect it to be, but maybe I made it too commercial, I don't know. But that did cover everything along the lines of, I think the substance is very good. I may have commercialized it a little bit because of what the company who paid us to do it want it, but tell her that I'll find something for her. Maybe I can get it on a DVD, and if she can't find it.
Okay, she said she would call you. And one thing, we only have like 2 minutes left in the show. Do you have, and I hope you do, I know you have a Facebook account, but do you have a regular website link that you could tell my listeners about? And, you know, I have an idea for you. If you don't do it, get one up and then put your movies on it. I know there's a lot of us like Angela and myself who would like to get copies of the movies.
Yeah, you know, I don't have a website, and I don't want to go into the field that I want to say, you know, here's Mr. Bob and all his stuff. I really don't want to go to that. It isn't that I don't want to share these things, but those who know us, I would be happy to communicate with them individually, even on Facebook. In fact, that's what's happened with Facebook. I just, there are people, I don't even know who they are, who want to be friends, and I'll ask them, why do you want to be a friend of mine? Because they don't say anything, and then all of a sudden I say, oh, like Trice. Until I found out that Trice was interested in all of these subjects, and then it made sense. Okay, you know, if somebody writes to, if somebody wants to communicate, I'm totally open to it. You know that. I mean, there's nothing more enjoyable than to discussing, you know, who we as humans really are and where we're going and what are we capable of.
Okay, and one more thing I want to tell my listeners. I am an author. I've written the Prophecy Chronicles, Chronicle 1, The Chosen One. You can find that at theUFOstore.com. And Randy's a great guy, the owner of the store, and I like to plug him as much as I can.
Yeah.
And we have 2 minutes left here. In closing, I have enjoyed you having you on the show tonight. You're always a great guest, Bob.
Well, you know, we were talking about things that are really in my heart and yours too, and I imagine a lot of listeners who were, if they have any curiosity, they're going to go down these roads of what's hypnosis, what is reincarnation, what is remote viewing, what is a near-death experience. All of those things are important once you start opening your eyes, you know?
Okay, and we're about to end tonight. Thank you again, Bob. I'd like to get you back on later on because 1 hour just ain't enough.
But, you know, it's interesting that we didn't talk about UFOs, which is kind of nice to get away from it for a short time. We can always talk about those again.
Well, we can do it again. And I'd like to thank you again for being on the show.
Remember,
you will, here on the Prophecy Chronicles, you will find the truth here. What you do with it is up to you. This is Paul Price with Bob Emenegger signing off. And you guys have a great weekend. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.